Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1450.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
His humor is satirical, and satire is often used to point out real flaws in society. And so he wasn't simply humorous just for the sake of a joke. I mean, sometimes, of course, he was. But he often had, there was that edge to the satire that was socially concerned and socially critical. So that's an important thing we regularly see in his fiction as well.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That was Dr. Benedict Whalen, Associate Professor of English here at Hillsdale College. We'll talk with him later on today to get a biographical sketch of Mark Twain. First, we're joined by Dana Perino. She is Fox News host of The Five, one of the co-hosts there, as well as co-anchor of America's Newsroom with Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino, also former White House press secretary and author. Her brand new book is I Wish Someone Had Told Me, the best advice for building a great career and a meaningful life. Dana, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I am thrilled to be here, and I really have enjoyed listening to you in lots of different places, including one of my favorite podcasts, The Three Martini Lunch, which I never have had, actual Three Martini Lunch, but I enjoy the podcast very much and your insights and analysis. And I think it's always very helpful, especially for me, to listen to somebody who's at a great institution like Hillsdale and somebody who is not in a D.C. or New York or L.A. bubble.
Yes, it is not anything close to that here in Hillsdale. We are 90 minutes away from anything. So we. Your book is very persuasive in giving people great advice about career and life. You are joined in the book, though, by a number of contributors. I want to give you the opportunity to introduce what we call your co-hosts for I Wish Someone Had Told Me.
So I went back to over 40 of my friends and colleagues here at Fox News, but also people I've known through my life, like my college roommate, who I adore, Andrea Aragon, people like Selena Zito, who is a fabulous reporter out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Dierks Bentley, a country music singer, Mike Rowe, and also somebody that most people on Fox may have never heard of, my friends Michelle, Chase, and Maura, who are very fabulous and just successful people that I love being around and learning from. So I put it all together in one place. And what I love is also the title came from my mom. When my mom read Everything Will Be Okay, which was a book targeted specifically for young women for life and career advice, my mom called me and said, I wish someone had told me all of this. This new book is not specifically for young women. It's for everybody. And that's also one of the reasons I wanted to broaten out and interview people like Greg Gutfeld, Jesse Waters, Harold Ford Jr., Bill Hemmer, the colleagues that if you watch Fox, you know very well, but you might not know some of their best advice.
You say in the introduction, and you stress the joy that you get from mentoring young people, and I have the joy of also helping young students here at Hillsdale College. What is the benefit to you? Why do you enjoy it so much?
That's a great question, Scott. I'm not exactly sure why. I mean, maybe it's because as you get older, you realize that you have more to give to others, or that you should have thanked the mentors that you had growing up. One of the things I realized in this book is that I should have thanked more of my mentors along the way. As I started going up through college and graduate school and then working, yes, those mentors, not only did I thank, but I've stayed in touch with. But I wanted to go back and thank my first grade teacher. She's the one who really got me writing and reading. Mm-hmm. And I came across a little cloth book that we were supposed to write in the first grade. And the question, it had questions for prompts. And the question was, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wrote an author. And I wanted to thank her because I once thought she should know that it came true. And a lot of it is because of that initial foundation.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she passed away in 2008. So I didn't get the chance to thank her. And sometimes you mentor people and don't even realize it. I'm sure you, because of Hillsdale and maybe me here, I could basically have office hours every day that would be filled with young people wanting to know all sorts of things like, should I go for this promotion? What if I want to move from production into being on camera? Or what do I do if my job is changing so rapidly because of technology? Where should I go? Should I take the leap and go to graduate school? But also, Scott, the other thing that I find, I'd be curious if you find this too. At the end of almost every mentoring meeting, when somebody comes in to ask about career advice, I am asked something personal. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you meet Peter? How can I find somebody to spend my life with? They're looking also for meaning outside of career. And so I don't know why that it gives me joy to be able to help them, but to see a little bit of worry taken away from their shoulders after they leave my office, that does make me feel really good.
One lesson I think is such a great one to learn is be curious. For lifelong learning, for lifelong success, be curious. And I love our students at Hillsdale because they are curious and they ask questions. If someone perhaps is not naturally curious, can you become more curious?
Oh, I absolutely think you can. And I think that the tools today are incredible. Scott, when you and I were growing up, you wanted to look something up. You pulled the encyclopedia down.
Right.
Right. And now you could listen to podcasts all day long, or the do-it-yourself videos on YouTube are pretty amazing.
Yep.
You can learn constantly. It's almost too much. You got to figure out how to turn off all of the content. I'm a big reader. I love it. But I'm also a podcast enthusiast. I listen a lot while I'm walking, while I'm doing the laundry. My husband will laugh when I say when I'm cleaning the kitchen, though it does happen on occasion. But I'm always learning. So I have one of the tips I have in the book is ABL, always be learning.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be from just even asking somebody that I meet in the green room. So what was your lucky break? Or what do you think about the market? How do you feel about tariffs? And just being curious and listening is so great. And that advice comes up over and over again from people like Bill Hemmer in the book, Mike Rowe.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Rowe in particular really talks about how curiosity is something that can really set you apart if you are going for a job or you're going for a promotion. Then somebody who is curious is always more likely to get the job or the promotion than people who aren't.
Hmm. Dana Perino is with us for her new book, I Wish Someone Had Told Me. In, I think, the first chapter, John Roberts tells us, don't let anyone tell you you can't achieve what you are passionate about. Greg Gutfeld in the same chapter tells us, do not follow your dreams. That's terrible advice. Okay. They're kind of mixed messages, right? Because we want people to follow dreams and do what they love. And at the same time, there might come a point where as much as I love being a professional basketball player, that's not going to happen. Or whatever profession is out there. How do you navigate that?
Well, one of the things that I always believe when people are like, I don't know what to do. Should I take this job or should I take that job when they're like getting out of college? Like, just first of all, just start working. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Start working, start getting a paycheck. Dreams can change. I write about in the first chapter or so that when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a gymnast. And, Kathy Rigby was an Olympic gymnast. And also I should thank this teacher, Mrs. Brown, and the librarian and the PE teacher, at Ellis Elementary in Denver, Colorado. They knew that I liked to read and that I was a gymnast. And they took me to the library and I got Kathy Rigby's book. And in mentoring circles, there's a saying that you have to see her to be her.
Mm-hmm.
And that might also be true for men as well. I don't know exactly if that's a gender specific thing, but I've always heard that for girls in particular. And so it got to be pretty clear when I was 13 that I was never going to be an Olympic gymnast. This is not the profession for me. But you know what I did? I joined the speech team in eighth grade. And I went all through college, high school and college, and including a full ride scholarship to college at the University of Southern Colorado on the speech team, which made all the difference for me in my career. Now, I can still watch the Olympics and say, wow, I would love to have been able to do that on the balance beam. But that just wasn't in the cards for me. Finding a skill that did help me achieve something else that I wanted to do, which was communication and journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Being on the speech team was a big part of that.
That's Dana Perino. We will return in a moment to talk more about her new book, I Wish Someone Had Told Me, The Best Advice for Building a Great Career and a Meaningful Life. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Workers' compensation cases can move really slowly, and it's frustrating. Don't get pressured into hiring the first law firm you meet with just because they were fast to get you on their schedule. Your case impacts every aspect of your life. You want a local attorney that understands that and will get you the best outcome. Interview Patrick Orman of Gorman Law to see if he is the right attorney and to see if you really need an attorney. He will tell you the truth. Call 530-262-2168 or schedule online at Gorman Comp Law. Consultations and workers' comp are always free.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
A message from Todd with Reading Online Marketing.
Here's the truth. Your competitors aren't smarter and they aren't better. Their marketing is.
Reading Online Marketing has years of experience and results backed by real data to put you on top. For maximum impact, ask about exclusive KCNR radio and digital marketing packages. Put your business everywhere your customers are.
We are local and can answer all your questions. Call me at 530-378-4060 or visit ReadingOnlineMarketing.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We're talking with Dana Perino, Fox News star of The Five and America's Newsroom. Her brand new book is I Wish Someone Had Told Me, The Best Advice for Building a Great Career and a Meaningful Life. Dana, you recommend at some point asking yourself, what is the key differentiator that will make you the indispensable choice for this position, whatever the job might be? And I say to students, I say the same thing, which is, what's your secret sauce, right? What makes you different from everyone else who might apply for this position? So, Dana, what's your special sauce?
Gosh. Well, I think I'm pretty humble, so it's hard for me to answer questions like that sometimes. I'm like, oh, I don't know. But I would say this, like, thinking back to my days as White House press secretary, I am very, very, very good at managing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an undervalued skill that people don't necessarily learn. Like, you can go to management classes and learn how to manage people. And that's important. Obviously, that's really important. Learning how to manage up and anticipating your boss's needs and getting ahead of problems for them, making their life easier, setting them up for success. I am really good at that. And I take a lot of pride in it. One of the things President Bush will say is that he was never surprised by a question at a press conference if I had done the briefing.
Mm.
And then that meant he had confidence in me. And I'll never forget, towards the end of the administration, he asked me a question about something. He asked a question. And I said, it's this, whatever answer it was. And he looked at me quizzically like I might have been wrong. And I just looked at him and he said, okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. But I think that establishing that kind of trust and anticipating the needs of the person you are working for cannot be underestimated. Because if you make their life easier, then they're going to be more successful and they're going to remember you and recommend you for the next job.
Mm-hmm. The book is designed for any and every generation to get something out of it. But in terms of careers, people now have different expectations. As you and I grew up, we thought maybe about one career for our whole life, if possible. And now I think students and those entering the workforce sort of look and say, well, maybe I'll do this for a few years and that for a few years. And they anticipate that there might be job hopping more often than you or I might have when entering the workforce. Is there different advice necessary for someone who's not going to be locked in to perhaps one specific career, one specific job for a good portion of their life?
I do see that a lot. A lot of young people are in a hurry, which gets me to the bigger part of the advice that I would maybe, I'll tell you at the end of this section. There are many people I work with now who had major career changes. So, for example, Martha McCallum, she wanted to be a Broadway actress. That didn't work out. She went to work in finance. And then because she's a very good communicator, she ended up also then working at CNBC and then at Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
That's a career change. But all of the skills that you have in your life build upon each other. John Roberts mentioned, he talks about that in this book, too, that even working in a lumber yard when he was in high school has benefited him because of the skills that he learned there.
Mm-hmm.
Lydia Hu is another example. She was a lawyer who now is a reporter and a correspondent for us, a fabulous one, on Fox News, Fox Business. Now, then you could look at somebody like Bill Hemmer, who knew from the moment he started working that this is what he wanted to do. And he's actually started in sports, but then grew an incredible career. So, yes, there are so many different ways to change careers. But I would say this, I've been at Fox News now since 2009. Gutfeld and I kind of pinch ourselves. The Five, which is now the number one show in all of cable.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for almost 14 years this July. And if there is upward mobility, and I think Fox Corporation does a great job of saying, okay, we have this person here who's a part of our company. They think they want to do something else. Can we help them go and do that? Like, say you are in ad sales, but you want to go into marketing, or if you're in marketing and you think you want to go into operations. Like, all of those things can happen within a corporation. So I try to remind people that it's not bad to stay for a turnaround.
Dana, I get questioned, especially for students who want to go into the media in some way, or even politics in some way. You have experience with both. The ability to balance your life, or the ability, how do you do everything that has to get done in a day? How do you stay so busy? And I tell them, you've got to be intentional with your time always. You have to plan. And in chapter, I think it's chapter 5, you talk about keeping all the plates spinning and dedicating time on a calendar, even for your free time. But if you're not intentional with your time, you'll never be able to manage your time. That's what I tell them.
Yeah. So I think that that's true. First of all, one of the things I would point back to is, if you want to go into media or politics right now, think about what the late Charles Krauthammer told all of us, that we should study history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't necessarily think you need a mass communications degree like I got, because I had to do a lot more of the deeper reading and intellectual reading after college and graduate school,
mm-hmm.
because it didn't prepare me for the deeper thinking. So if I think about the late Tony Snow, he was a wonderful press secretary. He didn't study journalism, but he was a fantastic journalist and a great writer. He was a philosophy major and a math minor.
Yes.
Right. So like a super logical thinker. And so there's that, in terms of, if you want to do this, there are certain things that you can study. You don't have to study necessarily journalism school. When it comes to time, I wanted for so long to be a person who could be more laissez-faire about my schedule. But one, it's just not in my nature.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings actually do like a routine. I think children especially benefit from that. But for me, I have a very long work day. I do a morning show and I do the 5. So I have several hours in the middle of the day where I could basically sit in this office. I could work all of those hours. It literally never stops. People come into this room, email, text messages. There's so much to read. There's so much to do. But what I have done in the last few years is say, I am going to be out of this office between 12 and 3:30.
Mm-hmm. Dana Perino, the new book, I Wish Someone Had Told Me. If I can ask one more question. Brian Kilmeade, late in the book, says networking is key. And it's something, again, that I talk to a lot of students and a lot of young people who are entering the industry. How do you make networking feel like it's not simply a transactional event? Like, I need to know you because you might help me later and I might help you later. And this is only so we can help each other down the road. Is there a way to make networking feel more natural?
I think it's, especially post-COVID, right? We talk about this in the book a little bit, that you really have to be intentional, as you said, about making sure that you're going out and meeting people. There's a problem out in the country, Scott, that young people, they are not going out after work.
Mm-hmm.
They're on their phones alone way too much. And I'm concerned about all of that. So if you are also concerned listening to this, make a promise to yourself that you will go to one or two networking events a month. Sometimes they can be organized. I know in New York, they have a lot of different types of meetup type things. Those are important. I think one of the best ways to make these feel like they're not so stifled and like, oh, wow, how can you help me get a job? That's really common in Washington, D.C. And my husband really didn't like to go to D.C. related events,
uh-huh.
because as soon as they found out he didn't work in politics and was in ISIS, they just like their eyes glazed over and they moved on.
Uh-huh.
That's not true in New York. But to be curious about other people. And to have a few things in your back pocket. I see Harold Ford Jr. do this all the time. He might say, oh, hey, where'd you go to college? And they'll say, Michigan. I'm like, I went to Michigan. Oh, my gosh. Do you know so-and-so? Did you go to this school? And he can have a conversation with just about anybody.
Dana Perino, you know her from Fox News Channel on The 5 at America's Newsroom. She's the author of the new book out now. It's fantastic. I Wish Someone Had Told Me, the best advice for building a great career and a meaningful life. Dana, thank you so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Scott, thank you so much.
Up next, Dr. Ben Whalen from Hillsdale's English Department returns to the show. This time we take a look at the life and writings of Mark Twain. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us December 3rd through December 5th as we broadcast live from Las Vegas, where we take a look behind the scenes and interview some of the top names in rodeo in America.
It's the National Finals Rodeo, or NFR. Tune in, listen in, and follow us on Facebook Live and on KCNR1460.com.
Free Fire Radio, and all of us from the KCNR studios want to thank our special sponsors for making it possible to take our show live on the road from Las Vegas.
We'll be reporting from the Thomas and Mack Center and from South Point Arena where the action happened.
Many thanks to our sponsors.
Redding Rancheria, Wind River Resort and Casino.
Shasta Regional Medical Center, the Redding Chamber of Commerce.
Jones Ford and Wonderland Signs.
Join us December 3rd through the 5th as we broadcast live from Las Vegas at the National Finals Rodeo.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights, open November 21st through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay in Redding, California. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights, plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, and more. New for 2025, upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express, adorned with festive lights and wintry displays. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Redding Kia is celebrating this season with joy, gratitude, and incredible year-end savings. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we're giving a heartfelt thank you to our veterans and the brave men and women of our military. Since 2006, Redding Kia has been your trusted hometown dealership. During our holiday sales event, take home a brand new 2026 Kia Sportage. There's always a military incentive rebate at Redding Kia. Visit us at 418 East Cypress Avenue or anytime at reddingkia.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. Our shows can be found anywhere you get your audio, but also at podcast.hillsdale.edu. There you'll find older episodes of this program, plus all the great Hillsdale College audio we have to offer. podcast.hillsdale.edu. We're joined by Dr. Ben Whalen. He is Associate Professor of English here at Hillsdale College. Dr. Whalen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Realized a while ago, we've been doing this show now for, well, it's almost 7 years. And
wow.
We haven't had a single conversation on the program about Mark Twain.
Yeah, it's time to fix that.
He's a pretty important guy.
Yeah.
And we're going to fix that. Spend some time today talking a little about the biographical sketch of Mark Twain, which is very interesting in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll spend subsequent conversations on the adventures of Tom Sawyer, the adventures of Huckleberry Finn. And maybe we do more later, but that's where we start. So let's talk Mark Twain. Brought up in Hannibal, Missouri, smack dab in the middle of the country, how did his upbringing help to influence his later writing?
Yeah, in all sorts of important ways. First of all, Hannibal, Missouri sits on the Mississippi River. And I think when people think of Mark Twain, of course, you think of steamboats and the river. And so that was terribly important. Just as a boy, he spent his time exploring the edges of the river, the islands on the river, the caves that the river would make. He spent a lot of time boating on the river. Another feature of Hannibal, though, at the time is that it was a slaveholding territory. Twain was born in 1835. So this was prior to the Civil War. And so slavery was a real part of the world that little Mark Twain grew up in. And so he addresses that, of course, in some of his fiction as well. He also drew on all sorts of aspects of his boyhood in Hannibal in the two novels, Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. So even some of the people that he knew as a child, they get renamed. But for instance, Huckleberry Finn really is based on this boy, Tom Blankenship, who was a friend of Twain's when he was a child. One other thing I would add, though, which is interesting to me about Mark Twain's biography, which is so varied and this long, interesting life, is that if you think of Hannibal, Missouri, he wasn't born into, say, one of the more cosmopolitan or refined areas. So he's not of the Boston literary crowd by birth. And so he really grew up acquainted with just your common middle America, just the sort of what normal Americans in the middle of the country are like. And that becomes important in his fiction, but it's also interesting in contrast to his later life where he traveled so widely and wrote, I think, six different travel narratives, et cetera. So it's interesting. We get this sort of two sides of Twain. One is the sort of common middle American Twain, and then the other is the cultured, well-traveled, well-read Twain. And we actually find both in his fiction.
I don't think we're breaking any news here. Mark Twain, not his real name.
Right.
Samuel Clemens. So what inspires him? What does he want to have a pen name? And then what inspires him to pick out Mark Twain? What does it signify?
Yeah, this is a really interesting question. There are several different stories and legends that come down to us about why he adopted the name Mark Twain. One story is that it had to do with a bar tab that you'd put marks on a piece of chalk, on a chalkboard, and he ordering two more drinks called up Mark Twain. My favorite, though, is that it has to, the thought is it has to do with the river. Steamboats going up and down the Mississippi would always be regularly measuring the depth of the river with a weighted line to see how many fathoms deep it was. Because the river was constantly evolving and changing, and you would get different depths on the river. And so you would sound the depths with this weighted line, and you would call out how many marks down the rope it went. And so if it was four marks down, then you'd call mark four, and that would mean it's perfectly safe water because that's fairly deep. Mark three, it's getting a little shallower. Mark Twain would be the name, if it was just two marks down, two fathoms deep, but that's actually only about 12 feet deep also, which is means that, and I love thinking about Twain adopting this as his nom de plume, it means that the waters are passable. You can sail on them, but they're just getting dangerous. It's dangerously shallow. And so there's a sort of suggestion of this is navigable but dangerous water here.
Talking with Dr. Ben Whalen about Mark Twain, his life, what goes into his writing. He was a riverboat pilot.
That's right.
You allude to. How does that help to shape his perspectives in his writing? And then later on, as you mentioned, he traveled. He was born, but traveled all over the place. How did that also influence his writing and his worldview?
Yeah, his father died when he was about in fifth grade, when he was 11 years old, and that made him drop out of school. And he first started supporting himself by working as a printer in different for presses. But then what he really always wanted to do, and as a child was so inspired by, was these steamboat pilots. And he was even more interested in the pilots rather than the captains, because it was the pilot of the steamboat ship who had to know the river intimately. And as I mentioned, the river was constantly evolving. It would wash things down. Its very course would change. So these riverboat pilots were actually, it took years of apprenticeship to actually become a pilot, because you had to study and know the movements and shape of the river so well. You memorizing, you know, 1,000 miles of changing riverside and riverbed. And so Twain did that, and he became a riverboat pilot, and he was very good at it. He actually continued doing that. You were very well paid until the Civil War broke out, which interrupted, of course, travel on the Mississippi, and Twain headed west to the territory and then eventually started riding there. So it's only with the Civil War breaking out that breaks Twain from his life as a riverboat pilot and starts him on his career of riding. So he drew on that knowledge of the Mississippi over and over and over again. He was proud of having been competent to pilot on the Mississippi. Later on in his travels, it's amazing how much he traveled. He circumnavigated the globe several times on speaking tours. He traveled to the Holy Land. That was one of his more famous travel narratives, Innocents Abroad. And it has his typical charm and vivacity, but it's this genre of writing that recounts one's adventures as one travels. And, so he used that extensively as well. There's some much lesser works by Mark Twain later, like Tom Sawyer Abroad, I don't particularly recommend them, but he does draw on his travels just as he drew on the life on the Mississippi, in his writings. Twain's biography was terribly influential on his writing. He generally drew on his own experiences.
Twain also often is using dialect, regional vernacular in his works. Is that something that is unique to his writings around this time?
That he is extremely good at that. It's not entirely unique. We have what we would call in that period local color writers who, like Bret Hart and Twain, Hamlin Garland, who try to capture their little local language. But Twain was absolutely expert at this, and he thought about it quite a bit. And so it's interesting. Linguists have even studied the dialect as Huckleberry Finn and Jim, this runaway slave, as they sail down the Mississippi. Of course, there are many different forms of dialect, and Twain actually accurately represents that change. So it's not just a Southern accent, but differences between the Southern accent was interesting to Twain. Twain was very thoughtful about language and words and the sounds of language. He was very intentional there.
We will return in just a moment, talk more with Dr. Ben Whalen from Hillsdale's English Department about the life and writings of Mark Twain. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22 12 6 42.
Everybody calls us.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Arturo Fuente, Rare Pink, Happy Ending. Extremely limited and rare, this is a perfecto in every sense of the word. A spicy Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, a Dominican binder, and luscious Nicaraguan Dominican filler. Offer up notes of oak, leather, cocoa, and spice. Proceeds from the sale of this cigar benefit breast cancer research. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope, but that's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
We are back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Check out our website, radiohour.hillsdale.edu. Click on the Affiliates tab there to find a radio station playing this show in your area. We've been talking with Dr. Ben Whalen from Hillsdale's English Department about the life and writings of Mark Twain. Dr. Whalen,
as we look through Mark Twain's writings through his life, are there major significant themes that are present, and do they reflect the society in ways of his time?
Yeah. I already mentioned that Hannibal was slave owning territory in Mississippi. And that, of course, is one of these central things when we look at Tom Sawyer somewhat, but then especially the Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. It's a novel that really addresses the problem of slavery. And so race and slavery are certainly concerns of Twain's. Twain was famous in his own day, and still, I think, it's in our day, as a humorist. Mm-hmm. So if you think of, you can get, for instance, we might think of Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin. Well, that's also largely about slavery, but is written with high pathos, with very great seriousness and drama and passion. Twain takes it a different angle. Humor is always going to be a part of Twain's angle. And so that adds a particular dimension to his thought about, his serious thought about race and slavery. Another of his themes with both Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn is boyhood. He likes to return to children. Twain, even as an old man, in fact, he was famous for giving all of this money to different boys and girls clubs and cultivating them. He really saw a beauty in childhood and in the innocence of children. One other motif that I would mention is that through that sort of innocence and humor in his treatment of children, he worked to serious social criticism. He's known his humor is satirical, and satire is often used to point out real flaws in mm-hmm. society. And so he wasn't simply humorous just for the sake of a joke. I mean, sometimes, of course, he was, but there was that edge to the satire that was socially concerned and socially critical. And so that's an important thing we regularly see in his fiction as well.
Talking with Dr. Ben Whalen about Mark Twain, a biographical sketch. This time we'll return and talk more about The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. At the time of release, or while he was alive, certainly, what was the public reaction what was the critical reception to his major works?
They were generally very well received. Twain became famous fairly early on for his short story about the jumping frog. I encourage all of the listeners to go read it. It'll take you, you know, 5-10 minutes, and it's a delightful, hilarious story. And after that point, both in his travel writings and in his fiction, he was quite famous. He had a couple duds here and there. Just as a sort of anecdote about how famous he was, he made a tremendous amount of money, not just off the publishing of his books, but he would go on these humor lecture reading tours across the United States and across Europe and the world. He did this in India, for instance. I mean, it's interesting to me we think of Twain being here, the Mississippi, the American author, but he would read and lecture in India, and he made a tremendous amount of money. In fact, he was very successful. So these things were well received. He lost a tremendous amount of money on some poor investments and then made the money back through his writing and fiction. So I think in today's dollars terms, he made well north of $20 million over his lifetime just for this fiction. So really, really highly popular, well received, and very influential.
You told us earlier in the conversation that Tom Sawyer abroad, maybe not. Are there, though, some lesser-known works of Twain that are worth exploring, and why, perhaps, are they worth a read?
Yeah. So the travel writing certainly is interesting and can be fun, but if we're looking at fiction, one of the strangest sort of aspects of Twain's canon is that he wrote this sort of historical novel. He did a lot of research on Joan of Arc, and I think he published that in 1896. So this is well after both Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. The interesting thing about Joan of Arc and his whole narrative there is that he thought that was his best work. He was famous for saying that he thought Joan of Arc was the best thing he'd ever done. Among the curiosities of that work is that there Twain largely abandons humor, his normal mode, and it's a much more serious historical retelling of Joan of Arc's fighting and then her trial and execution. And this is also interesting because anybody who's read or has a notion of another of Twain's works, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, which is a delightful and hilarious novel, but there you see Twain's very critical attitude, especially to the Catholic Church and to priests and the religious hierarchy. Twain was very, very skeptical and critical. And so it's even more strange that Twain would adopt Joan of Arc as this figure to write about, but he did, and he loved his writing there. And I just add that, actually when he wrote this in 1896, Joan of Arc had not been canonized. So she was not regarded by the general Catholic Church as a saint. She was more of an obscure figure. I think we know her better now than a common American in the 1890s would. So this is sort of Twain's pet project that he treats seriously, and a somewhat obscure figure that he presents quite fully. So that's one work. One other work I'd recommend, because it expands his thought on race, is Pudd'nhead Wilson, also written in the 1890s. Twain there looks at two boys who are switched at birth, sort of like the Prince and the Pauper, but one has 1/32 of black blood in him, of slave blood, and so he's supposed to be a slave, but they get switched at birth, and so it's an interesting exploration of race and character and moral virtue.
How would you describe Twain's influence on American literature, American culture? Are there particular writers too who are heavily influenced by Twain in the years to come?
Famously, Ernest Hemingway, one of my favorites. Hemingway said, "All modern American literature comes from one book by Mr. Mark Twain, called Huckleberry Finn. It's the best book we've had," he says. And Twain, Hemingway was sort of a competitive guy, so sure, to admit this is the best book we've had is to belittle his own works to some degree. He had great influence on American letters in the 20th century. I would add, though, if we're thinking more largely about American culture, one of the interesting things to me is that Twain was actually good friends with Ulysses S. Grant. And after Grant's presidency, in the last year of his life, he was dying from throat cancer. And he had suffered a terrible bankruptcy or loss of money through investments Ulysses S. Grant had. And so Twain, to help out the Grant family in the last year of Grant's life, encouraged him to write his memoirs and personally saw them through publication. So, and these were among the most successful memoirs of the 19th century in American literature. So really important figure, giving his account as he's dying of what his time as a general and then as president of the United States was. Twain was instrumental in bringing those memoirs out. So really, really significant there as well.
Twain seems to be a man who is just as well known for being himself as he is for his works. And it's not true of every author. What makes Twain so singular in the fact that people know about him and not just the things he's written?
Yeah, of course, he's famous for the white suit, which he did. He's also famous for cigars. So when he's pictured, he's often sitting there with a cigar. He smoked a tremendous amount. He took thousands of cigars with him on the ship that went to when he visited the Holy Land. He took thousands of cigars because he knew he couldn't get good American tobacco over there. He famously quipped at one point about smoking. He said, "Quitting smoking is easy. I've done it dozens of times." So he is, we think of his fiction and the steamboat pilot, but he also, I think because he had such a distinctive style and such a quick wit, and because he did go on these lecture circuits and reading humor circuits, he really does stand out as the man himself, not just the author of these great books. So he, in a certain way, he too is representative of America, in a certain way, in its virtues and in its failings. And he's sort of in some way embodies something of the American myth.
We will talk in future weeks about the adventures of Tom Sawyer and the adventures of Huckleberry Finn. For now, we'll look at Mark Twain, his life, his background. Dr. Ben Whalen, Associate Professor of English here at Hillsdale College. Dr. Whalen, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks, Scott.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dana Perino, her new book, I Wish Someone Had Told Me, and Dr. Ben Whalen from Hillsdale's English Department. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Welcome to
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help.
We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.